It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome back. It's a Monday, August 25th edition of Overtime. Hour number one is done, and it was a lot of fun. We had USF Cougar football in studio. Coach Jim Glagowski, quarterback Cam Dean, safety Garrett Hoffman. We also had our first chat of the season in season. South Dakota State Jackrabbit football head coach Dan Jackson. If you missed hour number one, you'd like to listen back, I would highly encourage you do so. Podcast links available, ESPNSiouxFalls.com, wherever you get your podcasts, or in the palm of your hand on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Still to come today on the show, headlines and highlights, the latest from the NFL, Terry McLaurin getting paid to stay with the Washington Commanders, and a roster preview, season preview for the Chicago Bears on the way. Major League Baseball talk sprinkled in. College football updates. The Michigan Wolverines have named their starting quarterback officially. No surprise, it's Bryce Underwood. We'll dive into that, what it means, and more from the sports world as we move forward in hour number two on this Monday, August 25th edition of Overtime. Let's dive right into the scorecard, get you some audio here from the day that was yesterday. Major League Baseball, things got going out in Pittsburgh. Pirates way better than the Colorado Rockies yesterday, 4-0. Colorado 37-94 on the season. Other finals, Tampa over St. Louis 7-2. Kansas City wins in Detroit 10-8. And the Minnesota Twins get blanked on the road in Chicago against the White Sox. And the White Sox win the series, winning Saturday and Sunday. Rocco Baldelli, obviously a little frustrated, and says, we got to get our runs while we can.
It can be hard when you're looking for that first one to kind of get you rolling sometimes, and it'll help with, you know, the energy and just give guys confidence, you know, when one or two guys find some space out there. But we'll just keep trying to get guys on base first and foremost. That's our first mission offensively. We did fine at that today, but we couldn't bring anyone home, and there's been a few games like that.
Certainly have been a few games like that this year for Minnesota. They lose yesterday 8-0. New record for the Twins, 59-71. Other finals, San Francisco wins in Milwaukee 4-3. Cleveland blanked in Arlington against the Rangers 5-0. And the Cubbies get another win. They're 76-55 with a 4-3 effort against the Angels. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Rays at the Guardians get us all going at 5:40. Twins and Blue Jays is a 6:07 start time up in Toronto, 5:30. Pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other matchups on the way, Brewers host the Diamondbacks at 6:40. Royals at White Sox, Pirates at Cardinals, Tigers and the A's. Sacramento-based A's take us home. That is a 9:05 start time tonight. For the nightcap, week three of the preseason is behind us, and it's roster cutdown season now in the National Football League. In case you're wondering, the deadline for teams to be at 53 players plus the allotted practice squad filled up on their roster is tomorrow at 3:00 Central. So we got a little bit of time, but we're going to see a lot of the obvious cuts coming out here today. Tomorrow will be the tougher bubble players, I'm sure. But right now, we'll keep you posted on what's going on in the NFL. We'll start with a look back, and Max Brosmer may have landed himself an official job with the Vikings. Good effort in the week three preseason finale against the Titans on Friday. Vikings lose by 10, but Brosmer had a 161 through the air and a score. 23-13, the final there. Minnesota opens the preseason with a record of 1-2. Chicago Bears came from behind to beat the Chiefs, but things were ugly to start. Here's head coach Ben Johnson on what he calls a sloppy start to the ball game.
Offensively, first two possessions was really sloppy football that, you know, has plagued us in and out of camp so far. And unfortunately, that's what we got here tonight. Good news is, you know, we'll be able to look at this tape and coach it up with our guys. And I think it's out of our system, hopefully, for us going into the regular season.
That's Ben Johnson. Their regular season will begin coming up in 2 weeks on Monday Night Football at home against the J.J. McCarthy-led Minnesota Vikings. More on those Bears. The inconsistency mentioned there by the head coach, as Courtney Cronin a little ticked off about the Bears, who just plain and simply just need to figure it out, how to level it out, and be a decent team this year.
It's been a problem, though. It has certainly been something that has existed throughout training camp, a narrative that up and down, up and down, up and down. And when is it going to level off? That is what Bears fans want to know. Is it going to be when they start paring down the playbook? Is it going to be when they get ready for week one and he's focused on a select set of plays in this offense? It's got to come at some time, because if it looks like it did consistently throughout the preseason and in that game last week, it's going to be a struggle the first month or so of the season.
And that's not good news for the Chicago Bears. They did have a good preseason record. Doesn't matter at all, but 2-0-1. The record for Chicago, 29-27. The win over Kansas City. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes taking a lot of positives away from some preseason snaps this year.
Yeah, no, I was super excited to get out there, especially at Arrowhead, and get real reps with these guys. You know, I always talk about getting hit and stuff like that. But to get the feel for the pocket, the trust with those guys, and give guys chances to make plays downfield, it shows that all the hard work that we put in and training camp is paying off. And this is a little step, but it's a little step in the right direction. And so we're excited now to have 2 weeks to kind of prepare to play a really good defense in the Chargers. And so it was a good step today, and we'll continue to build as we get ready for the regular season.
Other finals from week three of the preseason over the weekend: Houston all over Detroit 26-7. Broncos win in New Orleans 28-19. And Amar Johnson had 8 carries for 26 yards, one catch for 10 yards, and a win for Green Bay 20-7 over the Seahawks. Packers are 2-1 as they gear up for the regular season. Your regular season schedule week one is not this week, people, but next week. Thursday night football, Friday night football, and a weekend filled with the NFL getting things underway. Cowboys and Eagles on Thursday night. Friday, Chiefs and Chargers from Brazil on YouTube. 7 o'clock start time. Sunday, we'll see the Broncos host the Titans. That is the biggest spread of the weekend at present. The number on that one is 7.5, and frankly feels a little bit low. But Michelle Smallman said this last week, and she's right back banging the drum. Pay attention to Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans.
It really does feel like we have kind of brushed aside Cam Ward, and we're talking more about other quarterbacks in this draft class, namely Shedeur Sanders. But I think that Cam Ward is an exceptional talent. I really love his story, how he's gone from program to program. He's malleable. He's overcome obstacles. He knows how to go into a new environment, adapt, and win. I love his edge. I love his footwork. I love the arm. I think Cam Ward is going to come into the NFL and really make a statement. Now, I don't know if that's going to translate to wins for the Tennessee Titans, but he certainly someone we're going to be paying attention to.
Maybe the Tennessee Titans are going to start to do some winning this year and moving forward. The Cleveland Browns probably aren't. They have a lot of quarterbacks, and Mike Tannenbaum says this is a tough situation to be in Cleveland.
It's very unusual, and ironically, they did do that last year, but last year 13 teams had 3, 18 teams had 2. Typically, you're seeing a lot of teams put one on the practice squad at this point. Mm-hmm. So, look, it's not impossible to handle your roster that way, but when you're rebuilding, and certainly, you know, the Browns are, you're going to lose a player otherwise you'd be keeping. So I still see Kenny Pickett getting traded. To me, that just makes too much sense.
There's a lot of potential trades out there. Also, the Minnesota Vikings involved in a trade yesterday. Green Bay Packers make a trade yesterday. Both of them dealing with the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get you the latest on those movers and shakers here in a moment. But lastly, on the regular season opener slate, Vikings and Bears, Monday Night Football. That is September the 8th. Monday night, 7:15 on ABC and ESPN. Rounding out the scorecard now, NASCAR race over the weekend was Saturday night. Ryan Blaney got the win. Playoff field is now set for the chase for the cup, and it begins on Sunday, 5 o'clock on USA TV from Darlington. Tommy Fleetwood got the job done. Very frustrating tenure of his career recently, but he wins outright the Tour Championship at 18 under. Russell Henley and Patrick Cantlay second place at 15 under. Here's Fleetwood on the win yesterday.
What this story has been, a story of always bouncing back, always being positive, always being resilient, getting on the horse again and going again. And I guess people have appreciated that, and I feel lucky that I've had the chance to show that.
Tommy Fleetwood winning 18 under at the Tour Championship. WNBA basketball, Nafisa Collier back on the floor last night for Minnesota and absolutely put it out there. 32 points, 9 rebounds, and a 97-84 win for Minnesota. They're now 30-7 and still maintain the best record in the WNBA. Tonight in the W, Sun at Liberty, 6 o'clock, Aces at Sky at 7, and week 0, the college football season, Farmageddon proved Iowa State just a little bit better than Kansas State. An upset, if you will, was a 3-point spread right around there, but Iowa State wins it by 3. 24-21, Rocco Becht was good, not great. 2 passing and a rushing touchdown, Avery Johnson, Wildcats quarterback, similar stat line, 21-30. 273 passing yards, 2 touchdowns through the air, 1 on the ground, but Iowa State wins it in Dublin 24-21. That was the headliner over the weekend. Other finals to take note of, Kansas. How about this stat line for Jalen Daniels? This dude has been around that program, in that program forever. And health has always been the question mark for the Jayhawk quarterback Jalen Daniels. Well, 18 of 20, 3 touchdowns and a massive win to start the season over Fresno State. So far, so good in 2025 for the veteran quarterback Jalen Daniels. The Jayhawks are 1-0. Hawaii got a last-second field goal to eke out a win against Stanford 23-20 and some surprising results, one one way, one the other way, for the FCS over the weekend. Incarnate Word, by most people's measure, a top 25 program, top 20, top 10 program, maybe in certain metrics. Incarnate Word lost over the weekend to Nichols 20-6. The Cardinals take one on the chin early. They're 0-1 and Tarleton State. We saw it up close and personal. I was there with a buddy down inside the Dakota Dome for the playoff game this past season. The Tarleton State Texans, they got their quarterback back. They got some weaponry back. And they looked the part in a massive win over Portland State, 42-0. Victor Gabalis, the quarterback, 2 touchdowns. Team ran for 300 yards and 8 yards per carry. On Saturday, massive win for the Texans to start out the 2025 campaign. Lastly, from the world of college football, let's get to your schedule and hear from Reese Davis on a hot-button topic across the game. Week 1 schedule, we had USF in studio. The Cougars will be out in Spearfish Thursday night, 3 days from now, 7 o'clock start time against Black Hill State. That night, Buffalo will visit Minnesota, 7 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Nebraska in Cincinnati, tussle at Arrowhead Stadium that night, Thursday night, 8 o'clock on ESPN. And on Saturday, Augie's going to open at home to Missouri Western, 1 o'clock go time. USD at Iowa State, 2:30 start time on Fox. Albany visiting Iowa, 5 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. And Sac State at South Dakota State, 6 o'clock. ESPN Plus and Midco locally with your TV coverage. Now, Reese Davis calling the college football playoff expansion rally cries absurd. Give this a listen.
I'm just going to say this flat out. I don't believe they're serious about this. I believe this is like when you go to sell your house. And you say, I'm going to ask, you know, $1 million more than I really will settle for. They're trying to get something back on the other side because on its face, this is absurd. It's absurd on its face. So they have to be looking for something else. That's my guess. And I almost feel like the SEC's play to go to 9 games in the regular season saying, okay, let's see what you do with the strength of schedule metric. But the other thing is, all of these schedules are still going to be unequal. I agree with Petiti on this. 100% agree. There's no magic metric. Somebody's going to be mad regardless of the answer.
And that's true. Somebody's going to be mad. There's going to be a team or two or three left out, chiefly the little guys, but that's a different story. I know I'm a little bleeding heart for the small programs out there, the Toledos of the world, the UCFs, the schools that work so dang hard, win their conference, go undefeated, one loss, really cool story, and they might get a seat at the table. They're not going to win the Natty in a massive system that's 12 teams, 16 teams, 24 teams, 28 teams, whatever it might be. Say it again. I think we need to explore some kind of Group of 6 playoff, that middle level in between FCS and FBS, big boy money, buying players, buying rosters, ludicrous nature of that game right now. Still love it, but that is its own playoff that is chiefly Big Ten and the SEC. Sprinkle in the Big 12, sprinkle in the ACC, and you have your 12-game, 12-team playoff, your 16-team playoff, and whatever it ends up being might be pretty darn crazy. But at that mid-level, these really good teams, great stories, they go out there, they play their football games, they strap it up and go to war. Also, they're technically playing the same sport, but they are not playing the same sport as Oklahoma and Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan, Kennesaw State and Toledo and Arizona, these smaller schools out there are not playing. Arizona is in that group, yes, but they're not playing in the exact same sport. So I'll bang the drum again. Maybe we dream up something for the group of six. Bond those conferences together. A lot of history there. Bond those conferences together and figure out something alternative if this continues to be tilted and favored so deeply and massively towards those power four conferences and the college football level. That's the latest and greatest on the scorecard. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. One place to start, and it is in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the Vikings shook up their depth behind starting quarterback J.J. McCarthy on Sunday, signing veteran Carson Wentz. Yeah, Carson Wentz, and traded backup Sam Howell to the Philadelphia Eagles. For Howell, the Vikings received a fifth-round pick next year and a seventh-round pick the year after that from Philly, and Philly got a sixth-rounder next year from Minnesota. So if you're looking at value here, essentially, considering seventh-round picks aren't really valuable this year, a seventh-rounder next year is basically nothing at this stage. So they got a five for a six and traded away Sam Howell, and they signed Carson Wentz, who certainly at a time in his career was a promising young quarterback. Insert Nick Foles, insert Jalen Hurts, the injury concerns. Carson Wentz has been all over the map. They committed to him in Indianapolis. They committed to him for the Washington Commanders team. Been all over the place. Kansas City last year. He now becomes, at least we think, the premier backup for the Minnesota Vikings. But I did see something interesting earlier this morning on this, and that's this. A lot of the question mark here and the narrative around Carson Wentz is, oh man, he's going to give us a great backup. I'm not so sure he is the backup quarterback for Minnesota. I'm not going to be scared to admit if I'm wrong here, but Max Brosmer looked really great. They let go of Brett Rippon. They just traded away Sam Howell. So Brosmer is at worst QB3 if he makes the roster. Carson Wentz comes in, and I saw the narrative out there, depending upon what the contract looks like, if it's a one-year veteran minimum deal, this might be an audition for a couple of weeks for Carson Wentz, and maybe it's Brosmer as QB2, or maybe it's Wentz at 2, Brosmer at 3, Wentz at 2, Brosmer on practice squad. A lot of options here. Got to be honest here. I like Sam Howell. I don't love him as a starter, but I like what he offers. He's still a young quarterback, and that's the reason a lot of Viking fans out there are saying, good riddance, he didn't look good, get him out of here, whatever. I'm not so sure, because for me, backup quarterbacks are not a dime a dozen in the NFL, especially good ones, and Sam Howell has starting experience in the league, as does Carson Wentz, but we know exactly who Carson Wentz is, who he was, and who he can be. And I think that Sam Howell was good enough to develop into something. I'm not so sure. We'll see. But he's going to end up out in Philly, and Carson Wentz is the primary backup for now with the Minnesota Vikings. The Packers also traded with the Philadelphia Eagles over the weekend. They reportedly acquired a backup offensive lineman from Philly. They traded a nothing burger, 2027 sixth-round pick. That's not next year. The year after that, sixth-rounder for Darian Kennard. According to a report by ESPN's Adam Schefter on Sunday, Kennard was a fifth-round pick by the Chiefs in 22, played backup at right guard and right tackle for the Eagles in the preseason. So yeah, Packer fans, another versatile guy, can play multiple positions, and they give up a sixth rounder next year, not this coming year, but next year for the Kennard kid from the Philadelphia Eagles. And lastly here, NASCAR does not get on the airwaves too often here on the show, so we're going to go to bat for sports or for racing right now. Ryan Blaney won a four-wide race across the Daytona International Speedway finish line Saturday night in NASCAR's regular season finale, a victory that denied a long-shot driver a spot in the playoffs and gave Alex Bowman postseason life. Blaney was 13th with two laps to go, but muscled his team Penske Ford to the front and surged slightly ahead as he led the pack to the checkered flag. Beat Daniel Suarez by 0.3 seconds, Justin Haley by 0.36 seconds, and Cole Custer by 0.49 seconds. Eric Jones was fifth, Chris Buescher sixth in the field, and your NASCAR Sprint Cup playoff field is as follows. Denny Hamlin had four wins this year. He's in. Shane Van Gisbergen. Not a household name last year, just a road course specialist, still the premier road course driver in all of NASCAR. He's in the playoff field with four wins. Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, William Byron, Ryan Blaney, second win of the season yesterday. Chase Elliott had two. And then a smattering of drivers with just one win. Chase Briscoe, Bubba Wallace, Joey Logano, Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric, Josh Berry, Austin Dillon. And then two drivers get in that did not manage a win this year. Tyler Reddick and Alex Bowman. That's your Chase for the Cup playoff field in the sport of NASCAR. We take the break, come back with all things NFL all the time. Scary Terry McLaurin got paid. 3-year extension for the Washington Commanders wide receiver. Get you the financials, what it all means. Break down the other news from the National Football League. Roster cutdown nuggets to get into. And a season preview. Fair and balanced season preview from a Packer fan for the Chicago Bears. We'll do that next on this Monday edition of Overtime right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Monday, August 25th edition of Overtime. Time to talk football. Time to talk laying down on a training table and the shakeup down in Dallas. That's right. Cowboys coach Brian Schottenheimer said he was set to meet with Micah Parsons yesterday to discuss the edge rusher's behavior during Friday's game against the Falcons. Early in the third quarter, Parsons, who again did not play as he seeks a contract extension, was lying on a training table behind the Cowboys bench as the offense drove down the field. He also, according to ESPN.com, was the only player not to wear a jersey during the game. Schottenheimer said the team will handle a decision about Parsons' future internally without talking to Micah. And again, saying this yesterday, I need to figure out what he was doing and why he was doing it. So until I have that conversation, I'm obviously not going to talk about it. Parsons had an MRI on his back on Friday. Schottenheimer said it came back pretty clean. Parsons first talked about back tightness at the mini camp in June. However, in training camp, Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones seemed to dismiss the severity of the issue, calling it part of the negotiation for a contract extension similar to Parsons' trade request. That's going nowhere fast, but at the same time, somehow, some way, feel like this soap opera is just going to ding into the breaking news. Mega deal. Parsons, highest paid player, loves the Cowboys, can't wait to get back on the field. I just had a little bit of a back issue. I was tired. I'm so sorry. And I think that that is likely. He will be paid by Dallas. I don't think they want to trade him at all, even with reported offers on the table, possibly from the Green Bay Packers. Also, we'll see about Micah Parsons, but I would still be very surprised if that deal doesn't get done before the start of the season. Raiders backup quarterback Aiden O'Connell had a pretty tough injury over the weekend, fractured his right wrist in the club's 20-10 loss to the Cardinals in the preseason finale on Saturday night. Head coach Pete Carroll said the former Boilermaker quarterback will need surgery and is expected to be out for 6 to 8 weeks. That does clear a little bit of a door opening here for NDSU Bison alum Cam Miller. Stepped in at quarterback, sixth round pick, completed 12 of 24 passes for a .124 passer rating of 61.5. He's had his moments this year so far in the preseason. Maybe that'll be the little spark for Cam Miller to get the career moving down in Vegas. Kansas City Chiefs acquired veteran defensive tackle Derek Nnadi through a trade yesterday with the New York Jets. The deal also includes a draft pick swap. Chiefs are receiving a conditional seventh rounder in exchange for a conditional sixth round selection. That is a sixth round selection. Entering Sunday, Chiefs desperately needed a veteran interior lineman for early downs. They get it, a reuniting with defensive tackle Derek Nnadi. As the Cowboys look to get down to their 53-man roster limit, veteran offensive tackle Lyle Collins is reportedly among the players who will be told that they will be released. According to ESPN, Collins joined the Cowboys during training camp after a rash of injuries on the offensive line to Tyler Guyton, Rob Jones, and Sadiq Charles. But apparently, Leo Collins' time with the Dallas Cowboys' second tenure not going to get off the ground into regular season action. Tampa Bay Buccaneers let go of rookie safety Shiloh Sanders yesterday and let him know he's being waived. Agents told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Drew Rosenhaus and Robert Bailey told Schefter that they hope Sanders gets claimed on waivers. NFL teams are currently in the process of trimming their rosters down to 53 players by Tuesday's deadline. 3 o'clock is the deadline. They'll get down to 53, and then we'll see a little scramble because there's IR spots designated to return. There's practice squad. There's other physically unable to perform list as well for the teams to use at their disposal. And very likely, very common scenario, you cut down to your 53. Other teams do the same. And you see somebody you really liked pre-draft, post-draft, training camp, preseason on their roster or cut from their roster. Maybe you make a move or scoop somebody up off the practice squad. We'll see. But a lot of transactions on the way this week across the NFL. Biggest spread of week number one is going to be in Denver, where the Denver Broncos and their Super Bowl caliber defense will play host to a rookie quarterback, Cam Ward, and the Tennessee Titans. According to Pro Football Talk at NBCSports.com, Broncos favored by 7.5. Denver is the biggest favorite of week one. See how that goes. Couldn't imagine a really tougher environment, mile high, on the road, week one against a great defense with a lackluster offense as a number one pick and a bad team in Tennessee. 7.5 does not feel big enough. We'll see, though, because some regression offensively could be in the cards for the Denver Broncos, like we said last week and like we also say about the Washington Commanders. And lastly here, from a news perspective, this is pretty cool news for Sky Moore, recently traded receiver from the Kansas City Chiefs. He is now on the San Francisco 49ers. Pro Football Talk highlighting Moore's recent comments. According to 49ersWebZone.com, I feel like I definitely needed a fresh start. I found myself in my head a lot over in Kansas City, and that's never good. Feel like today, let it loose and go out and play, because I don't know anything anyway. So I just got to go play ball. Really positive there for Sky Moore, looking for an opportunity. Was a second round pick, was supposed to be a big contributor in Kansas City, but that receiver room has been such a turnstile in KC since the departure of Tyreek Hill. They've had all sorts of personalities and playmakers there. Some work out, some haven't. They drafted guys, they plugged them in. Rashee Rice has been good. Xavier Worthy's a question. Hollywood Brown's still a question. They've had a big turnstile in Kansas City, and Sky Moore, recent defection from that roster, will look to get his career rebooted in the Bay Area. Let's preview the season now for the Chicago Bears. Last year, not good for Chicago. They were 5-12, dead last in an obnoxiously good NFC North. They made the hire, the splashy hire of Ben Johnson. First season at the helm, first time as a head coach in the NFL. Additions to the roster, the Bears got aggressive. They went out in free agency, brought in Deo Odeyingbo, a defensive lineman. Grady Jarrett comes to town. Center Drew Dolman also traded for guard Joe Tooney and guard Jonah Jackson. So the Bears taking that offensive line deficiency seriously. Departures, wide receiver Keenan Allen, and then a pair of guys that, as respect to them, might not be actual departures in terms of, man, we're going to miss those guys. For a Bears perspective, guard center Coleman Shelton and guard Tevin Jenkins. Bears moving on from a bulk of their offensive line, bringing in a lot of new faces, hoping it adds up to some success for quarterback Caleb Williams. Last year, the offense was dead last in yards per game, and they were near dead last in points per game, 28th in the NFL. Defensively, they were okay, but certainly below average. They allowed the 27th most yards per game, but they did get a little stingy in terms of scoring, 13th in points per game allowed defensively. They were good. Not great, but good at taking care of the football. Plus 8 turnover margin. If you're looking for a positive takeaway from last year, Caleb Williams did take care of the football. He basically hung on to it for an eternity, ran around in circles, but he did not fumble it, and he didn't throw it to the other team. Plus 8 turnover margin, 9th in the NFL for the Chicago Bears. This year, they have the third hardest schedule in the entire league. The divisional outlook is tough, but easier than last year. We're expecting the Vikings to come down. We're expecting the Lions to come down. Packers probably same, 9, 10, 11 wins, realistic for Green Bay. And then playoffs for the Bears. Playoffs? Unlikely, but not impossible. versus Chicago. Would not blow my mind if they made it, but unlikely if they were to make it this year. The over-under in Vegas, VegasInsider.com, puts it all together, aggregated formula. And right now, today, as of this morning, 8.5, the over-under for the Bears. It feels like I'm very confident to say under in Chicago. With all due respect to Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and DJ Moore and the whole roster there in Chicago, I don't think this year is the year the Bears dance to the postseason. But that being said, I do think they can set themselves up for success again. What does Caleb look like? That should be item number one. If you're a Bears fan and Chicago wins two games this year, but Caleb Williams is confident, calm, cool, and collected, looking the part of an inspiring young quarterback, I don't think it really matters. You say, thanks for the top five pick. I can't wait for 2026. But the Chicago Bears this year, I'm going to go under and say confidently under 8.5. I think 6, 7, or 8 wins, 7 and 10 feels about right for Chicago in 2025. That's your Bears preview. Tomorrow on the show, we will talk about the Detroit Motor City Lions keeping the Vikings and Packers for the latter stages of the week. Hope you can join us tomorrow on the program. We'll take a break, come back, Major League Baseball, college football, and a recap to the Farmageddon ball game overseas in Ireland this weekend. In case you missed it, Iowa State, a little bit better than Kansas State, and certainly big news item, Iowa State, the opponent for USD in Ames, coming up on Saturday. We take the break, back with more of the show coming up next on ESPN Sioux Falls.
It's so convenient. So, download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Totally forgot to give you the details last segment about Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry's contract extension out there in the nation's capital, Washington Commanders. Wide receiver Terry McLaurin reached agreement today on a 3-year contract extension that is worth up to $96 million that will officially end his hold in and get him in uniform for the regular season opener coming up in 2 weeks against the New York Giants. That's according to his agents and ESPN's Adam Schefter. McLaurin receiving a $30 million check for a signing bonus in the deal, according to ESPN. More details there at ESPN.com. We're talking baseball, college football, and a recap of a big win for Iowa State Cyclone football overseas in Dublin back on Saturday. Cal Raleigh had so much adrenaline going, he couldn't even hear a crowd of greater than 37,000 in their MVP chance following his record-breaking feat over the weekend. The Seattle Mariners, not Seattle Seahawks slugger, hit his major league leading 48th and 49th long balls of the season on Sunday against the A's, setting a single season record for catchers and passing Salvador Perez's total with the Royals set back in 2021. After hitting his second homer, which set the watermark for backstops, Raleigh exited the Mariners dugout to doff his helmet. With everybody on their feet cheering, I didn't even notice. It was really cool to tip the cap. That's not something you get to do every day. Manager Dan Wilson saying, what an incredible feat. I don't know that you can fathom how big it is when you look at some of the people he's passed and just what the magnitude of that record is. But Cal Raleigh, alone atop the all-time record for catcher home runs in a season, currently sitting at 49. Over to the world of college football, true freshman starting quarterback in Ann Arbor, Bryce Underwood, expected to be named the team's starting quarterback, according to ESPN's Pete Thamel. The other Michigan quarterbacks were informed on Sunday that Underwood will start. Underwood was the number one overall recruit in this year's signing class, flipping his commitment from LSU to Michigan last November, and that turned out to be a good decision in the interest of immediate playing time, immediate impact, and maybe getting the Wolverines back into the national spotlight. Underwood, again, number one recruit, and flipped his commitment from LSU to Michigan. He'll get the starter for the Michigan Wolverines opening the season Saturday against New Mexico before traveling to Oklahoma on September 6th to face off with the 18th ranked Sooners. Well, the number will still be in front of the name for Iowa State. Might be a little bit different. We'll see if a new poll comes out here for Iowa State. Barocco Becht was just good enough on Saturday. Passed for 2 touchdowns, ran for another, and helped his 22nd ranked Iowa State Cyclones beat 17th rated Kansas State 24-21 in Dublin. Beck was 14 of 28 for a buck 83, found Dominic Overby for a 23-yard touchdown in the first quarter, and passed to Brett Eskelden for a 24-yard score in the third. And then with 2:26 to go, Iowa State went for it on 4th-and-3 at the K-State 16, and Beck found Carson Hansen for 15 yards and iced the game. Cyclones 1-0. They will face off with USD, 2:30 start time Saturday on Fox. If you can't make it, tickets still available there, wherever you get your tickets, cyclones.com, ESPN.com. Plenty of options there to get at Jack Trice Stadium. That ball game, USD at Iowa State, coming up Saturday, 2:30 the start time, and Fox on your TV if you can't make it. That's the latest from the world of college football. We'll take our final break of the show, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Lot to get to there. Again, in case you missed it moments ago, Terry McLaurin has officially been paid. 3 years, $96 million, $30 million signing bonus for Terry McLaurin. That's the big news of the day in the NFL for now. Possible trades still out there, including holding your breath. Probably not a good idea for the Adam Thielen trade over the weekend. That did not materialize yet, as the Panthers are quote-unquote reluctant to part ways with Adam Thielen. Might be playing for a better return. We'll see about that trade. I still think there's a good chance that goes down. We'll dive in to the good, the bad, and the ugly coming up next as we say so long to this Monday, August 25th edition of Overtime, next on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
With you set to round out and wrap up this Monday edition of Overtime. If you missed it in hour number one, we had a lot of fun in studio. USF Cougar football was in the studio with us. Coach Jim Glagowski, quarterback Cam Dean, and safety Sioux Falls native, Sioux Falls, Washington grad Garrett Hoffman joined us in studio. You can listen back to that and our first conversation of the season with SDSU football head coach Dan Jackson a little bit later in hour number one. That podcast link is available right now at ESPNSiouxFalls.com, wherever you get your podcasts, or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Time now, though, to touch them all, the good, the bad, and the ugly from over the weekend.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Are you tired of your outdoor scene this time of year with things continuing to grow? Can get pretty darn ugly. You can give your backyard at your home or business a facelift today with the help of the pros at Hardscapes Outlet. Ditch the bad and ugly yard for something great right now. Check them out at hardscapesoutlet.com or any of their three Sioux Empire locations. Good news. Tommy Fleetwood's long nightmare is over following so many near misses. The Englishman finally picked up his first PGA Tour victory on Sunday after posting a 2-under 68 to finish 18-under in the Tour Championships. That is three strokes ahead of Russell Henley and Patrick Cantlay, who tied for second. Fleetwood's 164th career start on the PGA Tour, and his long wait, while agonizingly painful and frustrating at times, was well worth it. He collected the FedEx Cup and a $10 million prize for winning. It's easy for anybody to say that they're resilient, that they bounce back, that they have fight. Fleetwood said, it's different when you actually have to prove it. The 34-year-old had won seven times on the DP World Tour and three other times around the world, but had yet to lift a trophy in a PGA Tour event until yesterday. Job well done. Tommy Fleetwood, 18 under, your champ at the Tour Championship. Also a champion, but back closer to home, South Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Might not have been perfect, but for Chinese Taipei, it was still pretty darn good. Lin Chin Si retired the first 13 batters he faced and allowed just one hit in five innings as Chinese Taipei beat Nevada 7-0 in the Little League World Series Championship yesterday, ending a 29-year title drought for the country. Chinese Taipei last won their first Little League World Series in 1996, although its 18 titles are the most of any country besides the United States, including five straight from 77 to 81. When Chen Yingren caught a fly ball in left field to end the game, Chinese Taipei's gloves went flying into the air as the team piled in front of the mound. Heck of an event, heck of a team, heck of a story. Job well done to everyone that makes that great, great event go out in Williamsport. Great stuff. Sioux Falls included in that. Chinese Taipei, your champions as they beat Nevada yesterday in the big game, 7-0. Other good news here, a signed sports collectible card featuring both Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant sold for north of $12.5 million on Saturday night. That obliterated a record for the most ever paid for a sports car. 2007-2008 Upper Deck Exquisite Collection Dual Logoman Autographs Jordan and Bryant card, numbered 1 of 1, surpassed the 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle card, which sold for $12.6 million in late August of 2022. On Saturday, the Jordan and Kobe card, $12.932 million at auction. Insane stuff there. Largest ever sum paid for a sports card. The FCS kickoff game between UC Davis and Mercer, two ranked teams, was officially declared a no contest. This is the bad news, obviously, after a weather delay of about 90 minutes on Saturday night. UC Davis, ranked number 7 in the FCS coaches poll, had a 6-point lead over 11th-rated Mercer when play was stopped with about 7.5 minutes to go. Tonight's 11th annual FCS kickoff has been declared a no contest. That's what Mercer wrote on social media. UC Davis posting, Mother Nature wins the day. Tonight's game has been called a no contest. Stats were voided. Not necessarily the really great start to the season for either of those programs you envisioned. And lastly here, bad news, ugly news for everybody that's not the Minnesota Lynx. Nafisa Collier resumed her MVP campaign last night as she returned from an ankle sprain that kept her out for the past 3 weeks, and it didn't take a lot to ramp it up. She had 32 points, 11 of 16 shooting, grabbed 9 rebounds as the Lynx win by a total of 13 points over the Fever. Collier joking that teammate Courtney Williams would have finished with 11 assists if she hadn't missed her first few shots. It feels like you're on the outside when you're not playing. I'm having so much FOMO, so it feels good to get back out on the court again. That is not ugly news, unless you're everybody else in the WNBA. Welcome back, Nafisa Collier. 32 points, 9 rebounds, and a big win, and that is win number 30 of the season for Minnesota. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. That's our show. Thanks, as always, for being a part of it. Listen back. Podcast links available now at ESPNSiouxFalls.com and on the free mobile app, ESPN Sioux Falls, in your search bar. We'll talk to you tomorrow when the next edition of Overtime rolls back around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.